All right, Rabbi Isaac, let's begin. So we're picking up today. We're picking up today, bottom of page, Ayin Tes. Hatzlacha. Bottom of page, Ayin Tes. Section Kuf Dalit. So we'll say, so remember again, we left off last week at a very controversial, heated piece regarding the parameters and really how far Hashgachas Hashem actually extends. So let's take a look. Section Kuf Dalid. So page 79, section 104. Nakatnu ata dugma shel shulchan v'kisos. Remember, up until now, this sefer has been very fixated on furniture, right? And all of our examples have revolved around, you know, purchasing dining room sets. And the role of the Ribono, you know, who would have ever thought? And the role of the Ribono Shel Olam in purchasing furniture. He says, Ulam Barur Hadavar Od Ad Lamaot, Shezehu Dugma Bilvad. But remember, again, this example with the furniture, this is just simply an example. Ulam Yisod Hadvarim Hu, but the fundamental Yisod is, Sha'adam Lo Holech Liknos Chafatzim Bali Hisboninos. So also, the idea is, people don't go to buy things without thinking first, right? If I'm going to buy something, so a person usually gives thought to what it is that they're purchasing. B'chol davar shaholech liknos. So whatever a person goes, thank you. Whatever a person goes to purchase, mekarer, a refrigerator, mechonos kavisa, a washing machine, aron, cabinets, kule b'chule, hu misbonein heitav tchila, kafi shebor la'el. So remember again, a person thinks about these things first. Right now, again, now what he's saying over here is a person thinks about these things, number one, what? In terms of what I'm going to buy, but also he assumes that because these are larger purchases, a person also thinks in bigger dimensions. He says, V'hu holich liknos aron yachad ima kodesh baruch hu v'lo levad chas v'shalom. What does a person begin to think to himself? This is an amazing thing. When I go to buy a washing machine, this is almost like a beautiful thought, you're never alone. Right, the Ribono Shel Olam is right by your side when you're purchasing that washing machine, and he's saying that's not a guzma, it's not an exaggeration. That's the MS. That's absolutely the MS. Yeah, again, it sounds strange to us because we don't usually bring God into the realm of home appliances, but lemaisa, it's true. Lemaisa, again, nothing goes down in this world without Hashgachas Hashem. That's why, what's just so striking about this is, it's such an absurd example. You know, meaning out of all the things where we contemplate divine providence, the one area that I kind of can say, I got this one, is when I go to buy a washing machine, right? I figure like, that's the one thing I could pretty much handle on my own. And what the Mechaber says is, no, you can't. No, you can't. Nothing goes down without the Ribono Shel Olam. So by definition, I need his involvement as well. Okay, tzarech ha'adam lahargil es atzmo tchila b'chol yimei chayov. So to a person has to habituate himself throughout his days. Shelo osim ma'ase gadol below his boninos shel emuna shekodemes lakach. So we'll say a person has to habituate himself all the time that he doesn't do anything without his boninos. He doesn't do anything without contemplation of emuna. That everything that happens in my life happens with a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. Mishe po'akach. So someone who operates with this idea that everything that I do in life operates with hashkacha pratis, with divine involvement. Yoch, listen to this. Yochol lirchosh mikol kinyon gashmi, kinyon ruchni gadol v'atzum. This is an amazing yisod. If you really believe, if we work on ourselves to the point where we're able to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in everything I do, including the purchasing of the washing machine, it turns out that every material acquisition becomes a spiritual one as well. You know, so I had yesterday actually a very nice opportunity. The fifth graders from Or Chadash came over to my shul. They started Mishnayis Brachas. So they wanted a little faher. It was very cute. They came in white shirts, mamish, it was very, very, very cute. So I told them, because they were doing the fourth parak of Tulas HaShachar. So I said over to them, you know, the first thing the Kohen did in the Beis HaMikdosh in the morning was Trumas HaDeshan, right? To remove the ash, essentially taking out the garbage. And what was amazing was how the Gemara records how the Kohanim used to fight, right? The Gemara records the whole episode is to race up the ramp. One pushed the other one off the ramp. They broke his leg. That's when they started drawing lots. But Elamai, what do you see from there? You see from there that even in something as mundane and seemingly simple as taking out the trash, if you see in it Avodas Hashem, then it becomes a holy act. That's the Mechaber saying over here. There are two ways you could buy a washing machine. It's not like a serious commercial, right? There's two ways you could buy a washing machine. You could go solo or you can go with God. If I go myself, it's just buying a washing machine. If I go at the Ribono Shel Olam, then at the end of the day, again, it becomes a Maiseruch Nisham. It becomes, again, a spiritual act, and it becomes something, ultimately, again, that I do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by my side. And that literally something in which I could see Hashgachas Hashem. It's an incredible idea. Misha Poakach. So someone who does, again, so who Yashrish Bekirbo Aide Knios Elu, Ba'adom Olahem. So literally, he embeds within his heart through these purchases, so you know what happens when I begin to look at the purchase of the washing machine, or for that matter, anything else, and I realize that the Ribono Shel Olam is with me. He's by my side, and he helps me in this process. And the washing machine that I get, it's not just haphazard, but that's the washing machine HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to have. If I begin to see the Ribono Shel Olam, even in those little things, it fundamentally changes your perspective on life. Through constant ongoing contemplation about this, page pay, v'hadibur bepeh, mufurash bazeh, and a service, right? And what happens? And a person constantly talking about these things, kefisha bur le'el, yushrash bekirbo ha'emuna hazoka v'atahura, b'hashkachaso yisbarach. So we'll say, again, as you've seen over and over, that so much of our success in our Judaism is about continuity. Over and over and over and over. So a person who goes ahead and strives to find the Hashgachas Hashem, even in the smaller things in life, right? So such an individual like that, ultimately, will, when it's constantly reinforced with little thing after little thing after little thing, ultimately, Hashgachas Hashem, belief in divine providence, a feeling. Remember, this goes back to something we spoke about a few weeks ago. Remember, we spoke about the idea that in life, you have a choice. What's the choice? The choice is you could believe in God or you could live with God. So there are many people that believe in God, but they don't live with God. In other words, I believe that Ribono Shel Olam, and I believe that he controls everything in this world, and I believe that he oversees everything, and I believe that he's always with me. I don't feel him. I don't feel, I believe it. I believe that it's there. But I believe in God, but I don't feel God. What we're trying to work towards over here is we don't just want to suffice, we don't just want to get by with belief. I want to feel. That's, by the way, that Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samah. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samah doesn't mean, otherwise it could be Ha'emanti Ba'Hashem Tamid, right? I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, Shivisi Hashem means I feel that I'm living with the Ribono Shel Olam. How does that start? So think about it very logically. If I begin to just train my mind to think about the Hashgachas Hashem, divine providence, in everything that happens in life, then over time, that feeling of living with God becomes a reality. Look at the next section, Kufhei. Ad akta asaknu b'ma'asim gidolim. So up until now, we've been focused on larger things. Kinyan chafatzim gidolim, like purchasing dining room sets, washing machines, big stuff. Misham ve'elach, la'achar shehurgal ha'adam b'izboninos zuba ma'asim gidolim, Ata avodoso lahargilas atzmo ki mamish af bedvarim kitanim yoseh. So listen to this. So let me take this here for just a moment. So you know, I think we'd all agree, a person buys a house. I think everybody would agree that there's hashgacha pratis in buying a home. Right? It's a big purchase. You know, first of all, there's hashgacha who your neighbors are. Right? Who your neighbors are not. Right? What's happening on the block? What's going on? We can all see again, because the truth is, you know, like where you live is not just simply like where you get your mail. You know, where you live, the home in which you live, the neighborhood you live, it shapes so much of your life. So, or like your job, a person's career. That's hashgacha pratis. Like in those big, who you marry, hashgacha pratis, the big things in life. We have absolutely no problem seeing that the hand of God guides these circumstances. Nat Mechaber says our job is to be able to take that idea that exists in the big areas of life and to kind of distill it down even into the quote-unquote smaller areas of life. So look at his example over here. Nitin Dugmat Ledavar. This is great. He says, Adam Holich, La'aruch K'nios L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So what happens? person's going grocery shopping. Grocery shopping for Shabbos. Mitzarchi mazon lekavod Shabbos kodesh. I'm going to pick up some food. Get ready for this. Kama emuna adam yochol liknos b'ma'as hazeh shel knias tzarchi mazon lekavod Shabbos kodesh. If only people realized how much emuna they could pick up in the aisles of 7 Mile Market. Right? It's a good marketing piece for them. Right? So how much emuna, how much can you pick up just by going food shopping for Shabbos? How so? Listen to this. This is wild, by the way. Lemashal. Now, again, you're going to read this, and I'm warning you. You're going to say that is just ridiculous, and then you're going to think about it for a moment, and it's going to seep in. Lemashal. Adam omid lahoshit es yado velitol chavilat itriot min amadaf. Person standing in the aisle, and I want to take a bag of noodles from the shelf. Okay, so I want to take a bag of noodles from the shelf. So what happens? So you go ahead and you think about this a lot, right? You're looking at the noodles. Va'omer, hare b'madaf yesh asaros chavilos itrios. So look, you know, there's so many bags of noodles. So many brands of noodles. And yet what? Madua dafka shiagia liadi chavila zu dafka velo acheres. So what happens? I'm at the checkout counter and I'm looking at that bag of noodles. You know, that's my bag of noodles. And I think to myself, like, why this bag out of all the other bags? Right? Cheapest. Right? So again, but even amongst the cheapest noodles, there's 50 bags. Yashan, right? Okay. After you go through, right? So even amongst the cheapest Yashan noodles, right? With Chassidus Shechita, right? So even with all of that, right? There's still 50 bags of them. Still 50 bags of that brand on the shelf. And I picked this one. It's an interesting thing to contemplate. It's like, why did I pick up this one? I mean, why this one and not that one? And the truth is, like, the reason I say that is because if you think about it, by the way, I'd venture to say, if you looked at the security footage on the 7 Mile camera, so what would happen over the course of a day? Probably somebody was in there, moved around the bag. So the bag that I pick up could have very well started the day in the back of the shelf. And then over time, it gravitated towards the front of the shelf. And for whatever reason, that's the bag I picked up. So he says, "Ein zos ella." Get ready for this. Ki bekikach ata gazarta b'meduyak misiba kimusa v'ne'elam asamdecha. Shedafka mamish chavila zu tagia liadi v'lo acheres. So what a person has to say in that moment is, because this is the bag of noodles that the Ribono Shel Olam wants me to have. Why this bag? Because this is the bag of noodles. So you say to yourself, now I told you what you're going to think when you hear this. But I say, understand where this leads. But even before we go on, understand what happens like this. If I condition myself to think like this with the bag of noodles, so you understand the trickle-up effect. I don't know, it's not the right term, but you understand. Whatever the opposite of trickle-down is. Right? You understand the impact of this? If I condition myself to think about this noodles, I say, so what happens when I'm at work that day? And the deal that I wanted doesn't go through. So now what happens? I take my mustard from the noodles. What's the mustard from the noodles? What I'm supposed to have is what comes to my hand. That's the way life works. And you know, I should really do the positive. When I close the deal that day, Baruch Hashem, right? The deal goes my way, and so I have to realize to myself. So I say to myself, why was I zucha to this? Like, why did I merit this? And the answer is because that's what the Ribono Shel Olam decrees. You understand how this works? You start with a bag of noodles. And with the bag of noodles, if I say to myself, why this bag? And we'll see, if you think about it, it is in a world full of noodles, right? It just happens to be that this is the bag I got. Why? For whatever the reason, I'm never going to know the secret of the noodles. So the Mechaber would say, you're wrong. Right? The Mechaber would say that's exactly the point. If you believe in Hashgacha Pratis oversees everything. And there is nothing too small in this world that is beyond the purview, including the fact that I want to just tell you something. Before I started learning the Sefer, I would have said like you. If you would have asked me, does Hashgacha Pratis apply to the bag of noodles you take at the supermarket? And I said, no. I think, because, and by the way, just know, that's not a wrong statement. This is not the only opinion. I mean, there are definitely opinions that say, Olam kimin hago noheg, which means like the world just, there are certain things that just happen in the world. Does God orchestrate what bag of noodles you're going to get when you go into 7 Mile? I think there would be many streams of thought that would say no. No, God programs the world in a certain way, and whatever bag of noodles you get, they get. It's not a divine decision. I think what the Mechaber is trying to highlight over here is that yes, it is. Everything falls under the purview of Hashgacha Pratis. But what happens, again, if you understand, see, the fact that Hashgacha Pratis applies to noodles, to be honest, I could care less. Right? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't make any difference. But if I use the noodles as a stepping stone to the creation of a life Hashgacha, and I begin to realize that the things that occur to me, that happen to me, that occur in my life, are not haphazard, are not happenstance, but are really orchestrated by the divine, then suddenly everything that happens in life, bein l'tov, bein l'ra, takes on a different type of meaning. He says, "I brought him rabim." Right?
It's not very healthy for certain personalities to...
Tell me why.
You know, so you can sit at the counter and say, well, maybe God wanted me to take the other bag. You run back.
Correct.
Or you say, you know what? He thinks I'm going to take this one. I'm running back.
Right. Correct.
Oh, wait, he knew I was going to switch it.
Right.
I was going to say, if you go 7 Mile and they don't have any noodles, can you tell you why?
Hashgacha Pratis.
How does that work?
You know what? So I wouldn't try it. Yeah. I wouldn't try it with one's wife. That's not a good idea.
A little asterisk. But
you know what? But you understand, you take that example elsewhere, and I want something very much in life, and it doesn't materialize. But also, I just want to be clear, by the way. You should just know, in Inyanim of Hashgacha, in of Emunah, nothing's ever black and white. Because let's use this for example, right? I wanted something very badly to happen in life. Whatever it is, I was pursuing a particular goal. It didn't materialize. So on one hand, a person could say, "Oh, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want me to have it." On the other hand, what could I say?
I didn't try hard enough.
So you understand? And by the way, so which one is right? It's the great challenge of life. It's the great challenge of life. That's why Emunah is so complicated. Also, you should know, I often think that one of the greatest challenges that we encounter in life are when we want things to happen, they don't happen. So, and we ask ourselves, is this a simon that I'm just going down the wrong path? Or does this mean I just have to try harder? And we all encounter circumstances like that. And the truth is, very often, there's not a correct answer. Sometimes we just...
Well, by Ruchni, you should always be trying harder, you know?
Because sometimes if I keep hitting a dead end, it means I'm going in the wrong direction. It could be even in Ruchnius. By the way, I just want to tell you something. I know this is going to sound ridiculously unreligious, but this is the notion that if a guy is sitting in yeshiva and he's not having any hatzlacha in his learning, he's not cut out to be a tam to sit down and learn. Get out of the base medrash and get a job, get a career, and be kaveh itim l'tor. This is what people don't understand. Of course, it applies to ruchnius. if I can't sit still and I get out of my chair every single 5 minutes to pace around the base medrash for a half hour, and out of the course of 10 hours a day, I've learned for 45 minutes. That's what Moshe wants me to do.
Maybe just try harder.
Okay, let's say I tried harder. That's the first response. Say a person, there are some people that can't sit still.
Right? No, but those examples.
Right, so I'm saying, but there are some people, I'm not even talking about somebody who has ADD, I'm just talking about, there are some people who are just, they're not cut out. And when I say not cut out, I even don't like using that word because.
There's those things that someone's not cut out.
Right, so okay. But I tell you the truth, I never understood that concept because it's not true. Because if that was true, then everybody would be a Yisachar, nobody would be a Zvulun, right? Obviously, there are certain people that have kohos in certain ways. So again, this is the great challenge. So you're right, it could be that with certain guys, you could do it, you just not trying hard enough. So that's the great tension in life. But how do we get into that? Oh, because with Hashgacha. Right, so with Hashgacha also. So something doesn't materialize. So again, there are two ways you could look at it. Way number one is how? Is you go, you're not putting anything else in there, are you? I'm getting that. So what happens? So remember, there are, thank
it's all
you.
About the
thank you. So there are two ways you could look at it. So it could be the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want me to have it. So they're out of noodles. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want me to have it. The other possibility is maybe I also, you know, made too many stops on the way to the supermarket and, you know, I missed the last bag of noodles because...
But then there's a nafkamina. If I said there's really no nafkamina. So, okay, you're right. They ran out of noodles. You weren't meant to have noodles.
from Seven Mile Market because of whatever reasons. But I know the Gemara says there's no desha that comes up without, you know, every
right.
single blade of grass, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, so
right.
I understand that on one level. But for a practical way, you know, so I can be spiritually motivated if there's a nafkamina, even a small nafkamina, if it makes a difference in any small way, then I could be spiritually motivated. But if there is no
I hear what you're saying.
Whatsoever, then what then
so I'll tell you
then
what.
Who cares?
So you're right. So the truth is it doesn't matter for the noodles. Remember, we're not looking for the nafkamina in the noodles. We're looking rather as the noodles, as the creation of a mindset. That's really correct. The truth is, the Mechaber is not suggesting that you take the rest of the day off, sit down and contemplate. Like, what was the Ribono Shel Olam teaching me? Because there were no noodles left when I got there. Right? That's not what he's suggesting. But what he is saying is, if I begin to realize that even within the noodles, there's a message of Hashkacha, I start with that, I'm going to build on that. You see, what I think what the Mechaber is just pointing out over here is different people work different ways. You see, for some people, they start with the concept of hashkacha in the big things, and then they take it down to the little things. And I think for other people, they could start with the notion of hashkacha in the little things, and then build it up to the big things. Because you're right, the truth is, I'll take what you're saying, I'll even change it around a little bit. It's easy to acknowledge the role of hashgacha pratis in noodles, because the truth is, there's no real theological implications of it, like what you're saying. It's much harder to acknowledge hashgacha in inyanim of parnasa, in inyanim of health, when things don't go my way. So I think what the Mechaber is suggesting over here is, if I create a basis, if I create a foundation of emunah and hashgachas Hashem in simple, straightforward ways that maybe don't have theological implications, I could build upon that and reinforce the notion of hashkacha where it really does matter in life. Because we know there are some areas where it has major nafkaminas and major ramifications. So again, I think it's a personality thing. Some people, it's easier to appreciate the hashkacha on the big things, and then they could distill that even down to the noodles. The shaila is, do you begin with the noodles or do you end with the noodles? So that's the million-dollar question in life, right? So some people begin with the noodles, work their way up. Other people, so I will say again, the yisod is one basic one, namely that a person has to go ahead and embed within himself the essence of emuna, of belief in Hashgachas Hashem. Kefi shebor la'el, mikniya achas min asogaze, adam yachal liknos kinyan gadol be'emuna. Supposed to say sometimes with the smallest of purchases, small purchase, you can make such a huge spiritual acquisition. Kol shekein, im yasim alibo, v'yargil atzmo bezeh betmidus, b'smidus, azay yushrash ha'emuna belibo heitiv heitiv. Supposed to say, so too, if a person puts this upon his heart and he constantly contemplates these things, this level of emunah will become embedded in his heart. Sarach lehisraga lachios kach v'lezakos al yidei zeh lekinyan ruchni niskav v'nor. A person has to habituate himself in these thoughts and to ultimately acquire for himself a kinyan ruchni, a spiritual acquisition of high and exalted status. Kinyan shel emunah tahora bo yisbarach hu b'nagaso, an acquisition of pure emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the way he conducts the world. Kach al ha'adam lahargil es atzmo, b'chol ha'ofanim le'orech kol hayom. Well, so this is what a person needs to do in all different situations throughout the day. Kigon, sheyoshev le'echol lechem. Person sits down to eat bread. Yisbonin k'niska le'el, shedavka prusa zu higia liyadav. Right, so we'll say again, you know, you could take this concept, you could apply it however you want. So a person gets a slice of pizza. Mamish, like, this is the slice of pizza that Ribono Shel Olam wanted me to have. It's not the biggest one. It's not the smallest one. Right? By the way, it happens to be, it's a good musr for children. It really is. It's an incredible musr that when you grow up with this idea that, and again, you have to balance it, because if this idea is abused, right, or misused, then what it could lead to is a feeling of, I don't really have to try so hard, because whatever God wants me to have, I'm going to have. Which I both say, again, is not true. Is not true. If a person is Yoshev who batal, and they expect a Kaddish Baruch Hu just to deliver everything, that God doesn't work that way. You need ishtavlos. So all of these concepts, they have to be taken in consonance with many other ideas and ideals as well. But if I begin just in the little things in life to understand this is what happened, or this is what came to me, it must be that this is the Hashgachas Hashem. So too a person washes his hands with water, a person drinks water. Person should begin to realize and should begin to think about that everything came to mamish with Hashgacha Pratis from the Ribono Shalom. So we'll stop over here for tonight. But the Yesod is a very powerful one. The Yesod is, again, remember, two different ways. What's the goal? Remember, we have in mind a very simple, singular goal. The goal is that we don't just want to live a life of believing in God. We want to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A recognition of Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, divine involvement in everything that I do. How do I get there? Different people work different ways. For some people, it's easier to acknowledge Hashgacha and the big things in life, and then I work from the big things down to the small things. For other people, easier first to start with the small things. Maybe like Jordan's also raising, it's easier to start with the small things because the stakes aren't high. Like with the bag of noodles, I can acknowledge the fact that it's Hashgacha Hashem. The truth is, it doesn't actually make any real difference in my life. But I'm beginning to ingrain within myself the notion of Hashgacha. And perhaps if I accept it by something little, I'm able slowly to build myself up and to accept it in larger areas. Again, it's not a right or wrong. Just the Mechaber clearly feels that the normal progression is you start with the belief in Hashgacha and the big things, and then you work your way down to the little things. But I don't think that's the only model. But the idea ultimately is that to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires a recognition and an appreciation of Hashgachas Hashem in divine providence and God's role in shaping all of the events of our life, both big and small. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. Yeah. And we'll pick up with Kuf Vav next week.
If there are no noodles left in this store, can Hashgachas be that I now have to go to the next store?
If your wife sent you, yes.